Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. Where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually. I almost went back to saying the wrong thing again, because Tyler messed me up the other week.
Was that a real sneeze you just did, MC?
No, that was a fake sneeze saying so far.
Okay, okay. I genuinely could not tell if that was a real sneeze or a fake sneeze. It's like, if that was a real sneeze, that was a very inopportune timed real sneeze. This is the best animated shows ever so far. Hey, how you been doing? Are you staying healthy? Speaking of sneezing.
I mean, as healthy as I normally am, yes.
Okay, that's good.
I still have, like, hay fever and other stuff that happens to me, and I get weird looks every now and then when I sneeze. It's like, no, it's just my sinuses reacting to some pollen or something in the air, some dust.
It's just normal sneezes, I promise. It's intense, man.
Once I get,
like,
my mask
anytime I get a cough, like the slightest cough, I'm like, oh no, I'm dying. Wait, I'm okay. I'm okay for now.
Yeah.
Scary
or
stuff.
You get a tickle in the back of your throat. Oh no, it's the coronavirus. No, you're dehydrated or you have a tickle in your throat. You're fine.
Yeah. What do we? This is episode two. This is normally when we talk about non-show stuff. You just shoot the shit for a sec. I was gonna ask if you've been playing any games, but I know you're still on that No Man's Sky shit.
I'm not so much on the No Man's Sky at the moment, and more in Ghost of Tsushima.
Ooh, I have not tried that yet. I hear wonderful things, but my local library does not have a copy of it. And it's one of those games that I feel like I will probably play through and then never play again. So I don't want to buy it at full price for that. I'll wait till it's on like a $20 sale or something.
I'm going to platinum it.
Really?
Why? And then probably put it away.
I've never platinumed a game, MC. Not one.
Two. I think I've got two.
Is one of them Spider-Man? That's the one that everybody seems to grab.
No.
Oh, really?
No, I don't even own Spider-Man at the moment. I'm waiting for the next Spider-Man and thinking of getting it as a dual set and playing it back-to-back.
Have you not played the Spider-Man game, MC?
No.
That's one of the best games of this generation of video games. I'm surprised that you haven't played it. Huh. I beat Paper Mario. That was exciting.
The new one?
No.
Is there a new one?
There is a new one, but no, just Paper Mario on the Nintendo 64.
Okay.
Here's the thing, MC, that I love about Paper Mario. There's a lot of things I love about it, but the thing I love most about it is I beat that game with 45 maximum health in an RPG. 45. Okay. I'm like a quarter of the way through Final Fantasy VIII. And my main character is like 4,869 health or something like that. Like, it's such a big number that it's hard to, like, conceptualize. Whereas 45 health, I'm like, oh, okay. And the enemy does 8 damage. Cool. Like, I can work with those numbers. Those numbers make sense to me. But, man, most RPGs are like, make the numbers real big. And Paper Mario is just like, not like your basic attack at the start does 1 damage. Just 1.
So, in Ghost of Tsushima... Mm-hmm. It's just bars, and you get resolve that you use for your heal and special attacks.
Okay. Is that so function like stamina, basically?
Yeah, but not really, because there's another, like, when you're running, there's stamina, but I found a loophole where if you dodge, Once you run out of stamina, you can just keep running again. Like, immediately, it just resets it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you're running along. The best thing is when you get roll. So, you'll be running along. Mm-hmm. And then you'll run out of stamina. So, you'll roll a little bit. And then you start running again.
Just like Link in Ocarina of Time. Because everyone knows that's the only way that Link gets around in Ocarina of Time. Is just by going, and doing rolls over and over again. Everybody else did that too, right? It wasn't just me? I hope.
I think everyone rolled around in Ocarina of Time. It was just the fastest way to get around, almost.
When's Nintendo going to give us N64 games on the Switch, MC? I was looking a little bit at Mario 64. And God, that game's so good. Like, I just started listening to music. I played, like, I think I've gotten 4 stars in Mario 64, but then I've just been listening to the soundtrack, like, nonstop since I started playing it because the music's so good in that game. You don't even... Hey, Nintendo. All these people are talking about the remakes for Mario 64 that it's the, like, 40th anniversary or 35th anniversary or whatever, and so, there's going to be remakes of the 3D Mario games. Just give me Mario 64. You don't have to remake anything. Just put it on the Switch, and I will buy it. Like, I'm here for it. Day one. Gimme. Please. I want Mario 64, MC. I want it very bad.
I had so many of the Zelda games on my Wii U,
mm-hmm.
and then when the Switch came out, I'm like, oh my god, they're going to put everything on this as well. And they really haven't.
Yeah. The Wii U, like, it's crazy how many things you can get on it, and then the Switch is just like, maybe someday. You know, maybe someday we'll give that to you. Not now, but maybe someday.
It's one of the reasons why I kept my Wii U. It was like my Zelda port. I played all the Zeldas onto it. On that. Mostly Link to the Past, because that's my favorite.
That game sucks. Anyway, let's go ahead and go to these messages before we come back and talk about Dexter's Lab Season 1, Episode 2.
Too young for this trek. The final frontier. These are the voyages of...
MC.
Troy.
And Eric.
Their mission to introduce Tyler to strange new episodes.
To seek out the best and worst media in the Star Trek franchise.
To boldly go where several podcasts have probably gone before.
You could listen to these goobers talk about Star Trek by searching for Too Young for This Trek or by visiting probablywork.com.
And we're back.
We are back, MC, to talk about Dexter's Lab Season 1, Episode 2, which includes the stories Dexter Dodgeball, Dial M for Monkey, Rasslore, and Dexter's Assistant. And also a secret hidden fourth story, because Dexter's Lab has 4 stories per episode. Can we talk about the secret hidden fourth story first?
Yes, I've come to realize they happen at the Dull M for Monkey segments, and it's clearly to remind you, hey, you're still watching Dexter's Lab.
You think that's what it is? Maybe it's like, do you think there's a commercial break before or after those segments? Do you think it was like Dial M for Monkey, and then just a little bit of Dexter's Lab, and then we go to commercials, and then you come back for the third segment? I bet that's what it was.
I think that's, yeah.
Mm. And this one, there's it's space, the final frontier, and then Dee Dee's head is there, and it's because it was a little diorama of the planets.
Yeah, and then Jupiter smashes on Dexter's head, and it crumbles, and his eyes are poking out through Jupiter.
Naturally. The end. Do-do.
It would have been funnier if it was Uranus.
Ah, then his head would be in Uranus. I was watching Legends of Tomorrow, and there was a joke. John Constantine's in that show, and he's just openly sexual. I don't wouldn't want to put a specific label on him because he's just like DTF everybody. And he's talking to a cane that has a bulldog head on it, and he says something about like He's like, "I'm gonna stick you where the sun don't shine, just so you I can't hear you talk anymore." And then the bulldog's like, "You'd probably like that." And he's like, And then it just cuts away. I'm like, what a weird little moment that they put in there. Like, it's one of those things where, like, if that conversation happened in real life, it'd be fine. But in a show, I'm like, somebody wrote that. Somebody, like, sat at their keyboard and typed that out and was like, yeah, yeah, good job, me. High five myself. Well, let's go take a coffee break.
I'm pretty sure he would f*** demons and angels as well. I'm sure it really doesn't matter with John Constantine.
I don't know. He doesn't like demons and angels very much, though. That's the thing. Most demons and angels, he doesn't like very much. But other than
most of them, no. Yeah, I mean, if he found ones that he liked.
Yeah. I won't spoil that for you in case someday you watch Legends of Tomorrow. But he kisses somebody in that episode, and it made me very happy because it was long overdue. But anyway. We're not here to talk about DC's Legends of Tomorrow. You can find more of MC and I talking about DC's Legends of Tomorrow and all the other Arrowverse shows over on our other podcast where we talk about every single episode of every single show in the Arrowverse until we die, because there's so many of them. And that podcast, MC, what's that podcast called?
I'm sorry, but you just cut out for like a good 30 seconds.
Oh, well, that's fine. Anyway, Dexter's Dodgeball is the first story in this episode. And in Dexter's Dodgeball, Dexter has he's going to school and he's all chipper because he's got his excuse not to participate in PE. MC, did you ever have an excuse not to participate in PE?
I had bronchitis for 6 months and I hurt my knee real bad and I got 3 weeks off for that.
What did you do during PE when you couldn't participate in PE? Did they still have you like go to PE and just sit there?
Or? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I would walk or like he would just be like, do something. Just low energy. Don't try anything too hard. Don't go running or anything.
I like that. Do something. Oh, okay. I'm gonna work out my thumbs on Pokemon Blue.
There's Pokemon Yellow.
So unfortunately there's a substitute PE teacher who thinks that Dexter's note is garbage, and then we go like he plays dodgeball and gets beat up by the mean kids, and then there's a whole week of him getting beat up at dodgeball by the mean kids, which means there's a whole week of a PE teacher ignoring an excuse. And listen, is Dexter's excuse like legitimate? I don't know. I'm not here to judge that. But I am here to judge the fact that a substitute teacher ignored that excuse. That's not cool. That's a bad thing for a substitute teacher to do.
No, that's not cool at all.
Did you ever... I'm not going to ask you, did you ever... MC, I'm going to tell you a story about me getting bullied in PE class. We were one time playing... I can't think what the game's called. But you all line up at the free throw line and the first person shoots... And then the second person shoots. And if the second person makes a basket before the first person makes a basket, then the first person gets out. Bump. It was called bump. So do you know this game? You look confused.
No.
Okay.
I don't know that game at all.
So you're first in line and I'm second in line. You take a shot at the basket. If you make it, great. You pass the ball to the person behind me because I've got a ball. There's two balls in play. And so if you make a basket, you pass the ball to the person behind me and they start playing and you go to the back line. But if you don't make your basket, then I get a shoot. And now we're both shooting. You're shooting, I'm shooting, you're shooting, I'm shooting. I got the ball back, I'm shooting again. There's no turns or anything. We both are just shooting as fast as we can. And whichever us, if you make the basket first, then cool, you're safe. You go to the back of the line and the next person starts shooting. But since I was behind you in line, if I make the basket first, I've bumped you out. And you are now out of the game. Okay.
Okay.
So we're playing this game. And there was this kid. I believe his name was Adam. If his name wasn't Adam, then I'm sorry to all the Adams out there. But he was a seventh grader, I believe, and I was a sixth grader, and I bumped him out. He was out, MC, because I shot after him and made the basket before him, so he was out. And he just jumped back in line. And I was like, dude, you're out. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, but I bumped you out. You're out. You don't get to get back in line. You're out. And he was like refusing to be out of line. And he had this dumb, stupid hat that he wore like at a 45 degree angle on his head. And so I flipped the hat off his head and he punched me in the jaw. And we both got suspended for the exact same amount of time. And that's bullshit because I flipped the hat off of his head and he punched me in the jaw. One of those things is way worse than the other.
Yes, but you also did get physical first.
I did. That's true. Actually, I want to say he like shoved me like a like back off type shove, but I honestly don't remember well enough to say. So I will acknowledge I might have instigated the physical contact in that circumstance. I'm not certain that I did, but I might have. I think he pushed me first, but I'm not certain. In any case, that's the one time I got in trouble for fighting at school. Another time I got in trouble for fighting on a bus, but that's a different story for a different time. So Dexter is really upset that he's getting his butt kicked at dodgeball all the time. So he does the only logical thing, which is not go to his parents or an administrator at the school and say, hello, one, I'm getting bullied. 1A, I'm participating in PE when I'm supposed to not be participating because I have a substitute teacher. 2, your substitute teacher is, well, I guess that this is really 1A. 2 should be that I was participating when I shouldn't be. And 1A is that your substitute teacher is allowing people to bully each other during dodgeballs, which is not cool. Instead, what does he do, MC?
He builds an exoskeleton to destroy the bullies at dodgeball. I just want to say there's a couple of good scenes in this episode. There's the scene where he's running through the school and the dodgeballs are tracking him like heat-seeking missiles. Mm-hmm. And then there's this scene where he's in like these arms and extra robot legs and like the hands pop open and like dodgeballs come flying out at supersonic speeds and he like turns into a gun.
It becomes very anime. Like, we get anime like backgrounds, yeah, flying across, we get anime sound effects.
Oh yeah. Right at the end, Dee Dee rocks up and hits him with a dodgeball and she's like, "You're out."
Yep.
And that's the end of the that segment.
Wah, bah, 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 bah.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, it was all right. It was fun.
Next up, MC, is Dial M for Monkey Rasslor. And really, that's what we're here to talk about today. I'm going to let you take it because you're so excited.
Okay, so in this episode, Monkey and a bunch of the other heroes that we randomly see throughout later on in the series and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they show up in other shows as well, but
I think they get their own show within a show on Dexter's Lab. They like, just like Monkey has his own show, there's a Justice Friends show that sometimes appears in the episodes.
Yeah, and essentially, like, all these characters get, they're like the Earth's greatest warriors, get transported up to this arena to battle Rassler, the champion of the universe or something, and he's going to say, he's gonna either get a challenge or destroy the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rassler is voiced by Randy Savage himself.
Doing a wonderful Randy Macho Savage Man impression. Like, he...
Oh, yeah.
He is more Macho Man than he has ever Macho Manned before.
But, essentially, he just keeps skipping Monkey. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't think Monkey's gonna be a challenge. And he just whoops all the other heroes essentially without much effort, and
I gotta talk a little
puts
bit
up a fight.
Hang on, before we get to Monkey's fight, we gotta talk a little bit about some of the other heroes that show up. So one of them, okay, is Val Hallen, who is like,
yep,
a rocker who sounds like both Bill and Ted at the same time and has long blonde hair and a guitar. So he's very he's very
metal.
Much like, yeah, he's like, what if Thor was actually metal instead of just kind of fake metal? And then there's a Hulk character. I don't remember what his name is, but he's just the Hulk. But
purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Major Glory, who is a Captain America knockoff, except with a striped cape.
Yeah.
Don't like him very much now, because there was a thing that I saw the other day talking about, like, are you, like, you know, I'm still proud to be an American. And it was some very right-wing person. And I was like, I'm not at the moment. Like, I am American. And I, like, yes, I am American. I will not pretend I'm not American. Not super proud of it at the moment, because America kind of sucks at the moment. And Major Glory kind of embodies that, because he's like, illegal immigration is so bad. And also, gerrymandering's a good thing. Like, he doesn't specifically say those things, but he kind of, like, represents a lot of things that aren't so great in America.
I quite like the samurai.
The samurai's very good. He's just a super cool samurai. There's a zebra man. He's a man who looks like a zebra. There's a human bullet.
There's a bullet. Yeah.
he's just a guy in a bullet costume, I guess.
There's a rapper of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very good. There's just, like, a wonderful, yeah, like, parade of heroes. And then, yes, MC, finally,
I would have said a menagerie of heroes.
Menagerie, that's very good. But finally it gets to Monkey.
Yeah, and Monkey sort of, like, pins him right away, like, surprising him, and then just keeps going at him, and Wrestler, like, keeps beating him, but Monkey just keeps coming back for more. Mm-hmm. And everyone's chanting for Monkey, and
I like it.
Wrestler is like,
the crowd knows Monkey, so at first they're like, Monkey, yeah, Monkey, Monkey, and then he gets his butt kicked, and then they're like, Monkey, 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 Monkey. It's like the slow clap version of
Monkey,
chanting. It's very good.
Monkey.
They chant him back to the ring,
and Wrestler is like, I'm gonna destroy the earth because no one gave me a good enough challenge. And then Monkey's like crawling out of the hole in the middle of the ring that he's being thrown into, and he's like, okay, I can't destroy earth because you're such a tenacious hero or whatever. He's like, I could beat you, but I can break you, but I can't beat you.
I can break you, but I can't break your spirit. Wait, MC, rewind. And so Rasu's like, I'm going to destroy Earth. And then Monkey's like, come on, I can do this all day. And then Tony Stark's heart grows 3 sizes that day, and he stops being an asshole.
Did he?
Well, no, not really.
I'm pretty sure. No,
he should have. He should have been like, oh, my friend Steve, I'm sorry that I just punched you in the face with a metal arm like 87 times. I forgot that you were my friend Steve. Let's be friends again. But instead, he didn't do that. And then he died later.
No.
Spoilers. So anyway, Rass was like, all right, you guys are cool. And he takes off and Monkey's the hero of Earth again.
Yep. And then we head into the third part. Dexter's assistant?
Yes, Dexter's assistant.
Where Dexter smartifies Dee Dee and to help him win the school science fair?
Well, okay. Specifically, he decides he needs an assistant because he needs to push a button. But the button is not near another button that he needs to push or something. And so he decides he needs an assistant to push the button. So it gives Dee Dee a brain transplant and makes her smart. But my problem is, Dexter, how dumb are you if you can't just figure out how to move the buttons so that they're closer together, you dummy? That's dumb of you. And instead you're going to make Dee Dee smart? Okay, fine, I guess, whatever.
And then there's a big problem with the brain transplant, because Dee Dee starts getting smarter than Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Dexter's not happy with that, and he throws her out of his lab because she's getting in the way.
Yeah, he's got something that he's trying
calculations.
To... Yeah, he's trying to fix something, and she keeps being like, that's not going to work, that's not going to work, that's not going to work. And, like, it seems like she knows how to fix the issue, but he's refusing to accept her help. And so there's a lot of tension there, and he kicks her out, and then she wins the science fair.
Yeah. Instead of him, which he thought he had in the bag, once again, because he has a trophy room full of them.
Yeah. I'm going to jump straight to the best and the worst first. I'm going to go worst. I hated Dexter's assistant. I know that's not true. I didn't hate Dexter's assistant. I just didn't care about Dexter's assistant. I didn't even like care about it enough to hate it. It bored me. Like for a show that's like so energetic and fun and exciting, Dexter's assistant did like absolutely nothing for me. I've watched it twice and I still like can barely remember what happened in it.
How about you? I got to say that teacher. Ignoring the note.
Yes, that's very bad. Bad teacher. How about your best? Wait, I didn't sing the song. It's time for the best and the worst. And the worst first, Troy. So now we did it. And now it's your turn to go for your best.
I'm going to have to say it's Randy Savage voicing the Wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Any particular moments with Randy Savage voicing the Wrestler or just in general?
Oh, just in general. He was over-the-top macho man, just all up on that mic, and he was just embodied this, like, over-the-top wrestler character. It was great.
He goes on a long monologue when the heroes first arrive, where he explains that he's traveled the cosmos looking for challengers to face me in the most honorable sport. Like, it goes on and 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 on. And then they're like, what? And he's like, fight me or I'll destroy your planet. And that was
yeah,
like, I like that a lot.
It was great.
But since you already took him as your best spot, I'm not going to take that. I'm instead going to say my best thing was a very small, like, half second long moment, which is when Dexter's dodgeball exosuit comes out of his backpack, and we get the very like anime style transformation sequence showing all the arms popping out and stuff. And then you get like the camera pulls back so you can see the full shot of the exosuit with the sun coming up behind it. And just as the sun bursts, you get that very anime sound effect of sing to still like normally it's a sword being drawn and it makes that sound, but it just, that sound to me screams anime, and it did it when his robot suit showed up, and it just, that sound made me so happy.
I can't tell you how much that sound means to me now since I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima, because that noise because you play a samurai, so you, all the time you hear shing, and you're like, oh, I'm about to get attacked. Yeah.
Have you ever had an opportunity to draw a sword from a sheath? And if so, did it make that sound?
Once or twice it has, but most of the time it doesn't make the, you got to draw it properly to have it like ring that sound out.
Now, when you say properly, do you mean bad? Because it seems like you would have to draw it bad so that it like was rattling against the scabbard as you drew it in order for it to make that sound. If you drew it well, I would think it would come out very silently out of the sheath. I imagine.
No, because if you do it fast enough, it's going to hit no matter what.
But if you were, like, super good at being a samurai, couldn't you pull it fast without hitting the scabbard? Because then you're, like, extra sneaky. Because then people don't hear sink and go, oh, no, I'm about to be stabbed by a samurai.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Samurais are honorable. They come at you front on. It's the ninjas who are sneaky about their attacks.
Are you playing Ghost of Tsushima very honorably? Are you going up and yelling at people?
Pretty much. I walk into a village occupied by Mongols, and there's a showdown. So you yell at someone to come face you, and then a Mongol group comes over, and you stand there, and you wait for them to attack you. And then you let go of the triangle button and you slice them in half.
Nice. Filthy Casuals was talking about Ghost of Tsushima, and they talked about that mechanic. But they talked about how the call out, there's different things that he'll yell out. So sometimes it'll be like, send me your best warrior, like, come and face me. But then they're like, there's one where he just goes, hey! And I was like, oh man, I wish you could like choose which one he yelled, because that's what I would always do. Just like walk into the middle of the town looking all badass and just go, Hey!
I'm going to tell you something that you're going to love.
Okay.
There's two functions. So, you know, on the PlayStation, how there's the pad, how you can, like, swipe it. If you swipe it left, he plays a flute. And if you swipe it right, he swipe it right, he... Oh, what does he do when you swipe it right? Is it bowing? I thought down was bow. But he... You can bow and, like, play a flute. And I really think you would love doing that. Oh, the right's when you put your sword away. He does the sword down and then...
Ooh, I like that. Does it do anything mechanically, or is it just, like, a single-player game with emotes in it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I like that. Because I will amuse myself by, like, interacting with NPCs in a weird way. So, like, I would totally do that. Like, walk up to somebody and just be like, what's up? And they'll just play my flute, like, right in their face or something.
So, here's the thing. The bowing, I've noticed there's signs and stuff in some places. You go up and bow at them, and little, like, interaction things happen sometimes. Like, I've had fireflies, crabs come out of the ground and do like a little dance, and like fishes jump out of the water. Yeah, I've had like birds fly off in like a flock. But yeah, like little things like that. There's this thing that you... So you can like down an enemy and not kill them, and they're crawling along on the ground. I walk up behind them and play the flute a little bit.
I thought you were going to say walk up behind them and stab them.
No, that's what you're supposed to do. But you can play the flute as they're crawling away from you. And you can walk slowly behind them as you play a flute.
Oh my God.
And then before they die, you just walk up and you hit square. And it ends their suffering. But I just like the visual of... All of a sudden, you've just done this massive fight, and then you pull out a flute and just start playing a flute.
That's the worst. That's like as psychopathic as my killing everybody and piling them into a pile in Skyrim. We'll be back next time on the best animated shows and also Ghost of Tsushima, where we will be talking about Dexter's Lab Season 1, Episode 3, and not Ghost of Tsushima, MSC. We're not talking about it next episode. No Man's Sky.
No, we got other things that we probably can talk about.
We'll be talking about season one, episode three of Dexter's Lab.
I don't know. Which
includes Dexter's rival, Dial M for Monkey, Simeon, and Old Man Dexter. See you then. Wait, no, that's not our ending. It's tune in next time. No, don't change the channel.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.